Well, so we can shift gear. I brought a topic for us to share tonight, and I feel like this is something we can be also interactive. So, if there is something that you wanted to comment on or have something to ask, you can just interrupt me, and we can discuss. But this topic I brought with me is something that's been very alive in my own practice. And this is what's called practicing using or practicing with a felt sense. And you probably heard me a bunch of times in the guided meditation. When I first heard of this phrase very repeatedly on a retreat some years ago, that the teacher Philip Moffitt was repeating this phrase again and again in somewhat of a little different variety, felt sense or feeling and sensing. And at some point, I thought to myself, wow, he really means it. So, as you're hearing me saying this again and again, and I also really mean it. So, why do we emphasize a lot about this felt sense way of practicing? For me, it's kind of a recognition that often when we practice mindfulness meditation, we can have a rather head-oriented way of practicing, kind of with our head directing our meditation in some way. And so in a sense, we're kind of leading our meditation from our conceptual ideas in our mind. For example, we think we're supposed to be practicing with the breath. And so often, and it's very common, that's how I did it also at the beginning, is I would think that I would direct my mind towards the breath and somehow manage my way to be with the breath. But often we may not notice we're really practicing with a very conceptual framework. And my teacher Gil Franstow sometimes would say that we tend to have a control tower approach with our meditation. And the effect of control tower approach or head-centered approach is that by and large, we're trying to manage our meditation in such a way that trying to get our experience to match what is happening in our ideas and in our conceptual framework. And rather than the invitation of a meditation is to be in touch with what's happening in our lived experience. And so this is actually one of the a major insight for me through my Vipassana meditation. That was the first time when I discovered that I was really controlling my breath in such a way that we want my breath to be breathing in the way that I think it's supposed to breathe. And I discovered it by realizing I was literally suffocating. I didn't know why I was suffocating for a long while. Not until I noticed, wow, there was this control that was operating. The control tower was really managing this whole show and trying to get it to match. And once I discovered that, so much of the practice began to loosen up that kind of a control. And this is not an uncommon way of a practicing, especially at the beginning. And so Philip Moffitt, in one of his books, can speak about practicing with felt sense. And what the implications are. I'm going to read this little paragraph here. And he says, learning to access the felt sense of the larger dimensionality of a body and mind, such that you're able to disengage from deep-seated habits of viewing yourself and the world strictly in concepts. You may not even realize how much of your inner experience, even in meditation, is based on conceptualizing, such that your thinking mind is acting as a filter between your perceived and your actual experience. And so this way of conceptualizing our experience is a very deeply rooted tendency and a very deeply rooted force. Because just as human beings, we grew up learning this mode of operating ever since we're very young. And so it's not a mistake that we can carry this kind of operating mode even when we begin to meditate. But there is also a real cost when we're living through the filters of concepts and ideas all the time, because we can be very much at odds with our actual experience. And one of the things that is unique about concepts and ideas is that they tend to last for a long time, even though our actual experience that the concepts are pointing to are very fluid. They might change very rapidly. And for example, the idea of I'm often anxious, or I'm an anxious person. And that's an idea, you know, that's a conceptual understanding. But that can last a long time. If someone told you when you're third grade, you're an anxious person, you might believe that for a long, long time. But if we pay attention to the reality of our own experience, are you anxious all the time? It's not even possible. We can't possibly be like that as a human being. But with the concept, with kind of living our world through the concepts and ideas, we can get locked up. Or in another word in our Dharma scene is we're imprisoned by the ideas and the beliefs that we may have. And they're conceptual. And then this notion of getting locked up sometimes in our Dharma setting is this sense of a dukkha, stress, suffering. We're not free. We're not free as who we are and how we are. And so in this way, kind of the cost of living in the world of through the world of concepts and ideas and thinking and conceptualizing, we are less likely to get in touch or in line or in harmony with the way things actually are. And so that's a phrase that describes what the Dharma is the way things are. Because the filters tends to kind of hide the reality of how the things are. And so this felt sense way of practicing, feeling and sensing as a way of practicing is a wonderful approach to unwind this kind of a conditioning that we have in our system. And we're cultivating a kind of a way of a practicing that allows us to gradually come in harmony, in line with the way things are, rather than trying to tinker or filter our experiences. And so it's approach and that allow us to maybe kind of stay away from the co control tower approach. And how do we do that? How do we do that when we practicing with the felt sense? We kind of tried it a bit tonight as we were doing the, I was guiding the meditation a little bit. But the first thing when we're practicing with the felt sense is to allow ourselves to become available to what shows up in our experience. This being available, imbued in it, is the presence of sati and mindfulness. At the same time, it's a way of engaging with the sati by becoming open and relaxed and receptive. And those are some flavors of becoming available to what's here. And this way of practicing kind of invites a deeper sense of a trust in the innate capacity that's within each of us as human being. Feeling and sensing is a rather primal and innate capacity we all have. And so felt sense can emerge and come to us rather than us doing something, controlling something, or managing something from a head down. So the felt sense of is a kind of a emergent from emergence from inside out kind of a way. Even right now, you know, we can just take a moment to kind of let ourselves pause for a moment and just kind of a becoming momentarily becoming present and available and feel and sense what's happening in the body, what's happening in the field you're in. For me, I have an immediate sense that I can feel something. Something is here. And even before I have a clear words for them. And that's just like that. We have this capacity to feel and sense. Sometimes a clear recognition of what's here is present, maybe arising. And so you can clearly recognize, oh, a sound is here, or the silence is here. But other times, maybe the words are not necessary, but you still feel something. So from the perspective of our practice, it's totally okay and valid for us to just feel and sense without even words or concepts to describe them. We just know something is here. Animals have this kind of senses to feel and sense. They may not have vocabularies, but they can feel, they can sense. We also have this kind of native capacities within us. And as we feel and sense, a recognition can emerge out of it. Sometimes they emerge as words, sometimes they emerge as a form of image. You recognize something as a kind of a form of image. Sometimes I would have a picture of my breath is like, it's like a flow, you know, it's like some sort of a shape in there. It's just a form of recognition of what's happening. And so that's a natural process. But what you began to recognize is that this way of recognizing our experience, we're not actually filtering our experience through the concepts. The other way around is we got our concepts of what it is, and then we shoehorn our experience into it. But there's a felt sense is kind of inside out. We feel it. We may not have words or images or visual, but they may arise for us to recognize it. And so that's a big difference, right? And it's a kind of like almost like 180 degree kind of a shift through this way of a practicing. And practicing using a felt sense doesn't need to be separate from what many of you or kind of all of you may have already been practicing. The only thing that may be kind of as an invitation, as an orientation to be plugged in here is to allow yourself to kind of drop into the experience and maybe letting loose and letting go of the conceptual framework. And it's in the meditation, I used this phrase, it's as if we're sensing and feeling the breath from the inside of the breath itself. It's as if that's already breath knowing itself. We're just here to allow feeling and sensing to channel that knowing for us. And similarly, and that can be what it is when we're practicing mindfulness of the body. And so we're feeling from inside of the body instead of us keep on directing and managing our meditation. There are a few effects when we're practicing with this kind of a felt sense way of a practicing. The first one is when we drop out of the mode of a directing and managing the meditation, our experience began to unfold rather naturally because we're not tinkering with a natural process that's happening in this body, in this heart, in this mind. And so we're actually noticing and seeing things more in line with the way things are, in line with the Dharma. And also, as we kind of drop underneath of the abstractions of our thoughts, our concepts, our experiences are simpler and they're more direct and raw. When we stay with a more immediacy of our experience, what also happens is we're less caught up by our stories, or conceptual thinking, or figuring out what I need to do, what I should do, and did I do this right, did I do that wrong? And then all of that happens at kind of this an abstract thinking level. But when we're dropping below that, we're kind of not blocked by that layer. And because of this, we can become more and more settled, collected, and unified with our immediacy of our experience. And so this way of practicing, it's conducive and it's very na it's natural to become concentrated because there's all of this hindrances tend to happen at this more abstract level. And when there is composure, kind of a collectedness, this more concentrated samadhi kind of state of being, felt sense way of practice also allow us to begin to know things clearly. And this kind of a knowing doesn't depend on thinking about our experience, but there is this kind of a intuitive knowing. Oh, this is how things are. And so it often has this sense of a, ah, oh, and it's almost like just instinctual kind of a knowing that's happening within our system when there is that kind of a simplicity and directness with our experience. And this is a kind of knowing enables a deeper kind of penetration about our experience. And sometimes this is called the insight began to be possible to emerge with this kind of a direct, intuitive sense of a knowing. The insights allow us to see through patterns that it's harder to see otherwise. And through insights, it allows us to recognize and to differentiate what allow us to become untangled with suffering, stress, and dukkha, and what allows us to be free. I want to end by saying that this practice is not to say that somehow thinking and concepts and ideas are problems, but rather we're recognizing that that's one aspect of being human, and there are many other dimensions of being human that's available for us, that's available to us. And when we're practicing in a way that allows all of this dimensionality to come alive, we begin to know the vastness of our life. And rather than being locked in a particular orientation, which tends to lead to a kind of a tightening, and rather than a sense of a freedom and sense of an opening. And so the invitation tonight, and as I offer this reflection, is to explore if there is a way that you can practice through feeling and sensing your way in your practice, in your meditation, in your daily life, and getting to know our life in a richer and direct way. Letting go and letting it be. Just the first noticing how it is, even if you're trying at the moment, just note that's how it feels like right now. And that you're already in the territory of feeling and sensing what's here. Oh, it feels like this when I'm trying. It's not a big deal. It's not a problem. It's just this is how it feels like. And when you're kind of noticing that more and more, the system has a self-correcting capacity. And so when you're resting there not to try to fix it, it has a natural capacity to adjust itself. Because, maybe I won't say that much more. You can let yourself play with it. Whatever you notice and that is happening, you don't need to add another trying to get it to be different than what it is. That's how it feels like right now. The more we wanted to make it different, the more we're back in the control tower again. You know, it's not a problem. It's a conditioning that's been happening, but it's not a problem. So I think those are my words.